So we will continue our Gaur Katha session. Gauranga Prabhu very brilliantly described how Lord Chaitanya met the associates who would later spread his movement all over, inspire future preachers in his movement. This session, I have chosen a particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is 11th canto, 5th chapter, text 34. It's part of Narada's teachings to Vasudev, Vasudev Krishna's father. He begs from Narad Muni that kindly enlighten me. I am just like a fallen householder, which is not, but he is showing the proper mood and proper behavior of a grihastha. Within those teachings, we have a discussion between the Navayogendras, 9 sages, who were asked by King Nimi about the goal of life, what is this material world, who are the avatars, what is Maya, how to get out of Maya, what are the various classifications of devotees, many topics. It's a very elaborate description. And at a particular point, when descriptions about the avatar for the age of Kali, so we know this verse, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam. After that, there are 2 verses which end in this 4th line, Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. And this one we will discuss a little bit today. Tattva sudusta jasurepsita raja lakshmim. Dharmishta arya vachasaya dagadaranyam. Maya mrigam dayita yepsita manvadhavad. Vande mahapurushate charanarvindam. Tyaktva sudustyaja surepsita raja lakshmim. Dharmishta arya vachasaya gadar yadagadaranyam. Maya mrigam dayita yepsita the disciples of Isi Bhaktivan Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O Mahapurush, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamasundar. So this is a very lengthy purport. We won't go into the full depth of this one verse here, but we'll just discuss the implications of Lord Gauranga's appearance. That will be our scope for today. I'll take one very interesting point about this verse. 3 of our acharyas have pointed out that this verse refers to 3 incarnations, the same verse. And the way in which they have given the meanings of the words in the verse is very, very ecstatic. So this verse, according to Sridhar Swami, it points out Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. According to Jiva Goswami, it is Lord Krishna's pastimes. And according to Vishwanathachakti Thakur, it is Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. We'll check out the Lord Ramchandra Leela element first. Srila Sridhar Swami has explained how this verse also describes the incarnation of Lord Ramchandra. Although the Lord is completely independent and detached from everything, he becomes attached to his pure devotees due to their love for him. In the great capital of Ayodhya, all the citizens loved Ramchandra more than can be described. This verse has this thing, Sudustyaja, very difficult to give up. Who? Rajya Lakshmim, the goddess of fortune. In Ramlila, the goddess of fortune is his own beloved wife, Sita Devi. So difficult to give her up. Everybody wants her, in the sense everybody wants her opulence. But Arya Vachasa, so here Arya Vachasa for Lord Ram is his father. That by the order of his father, who was like his guru, Ramchandra gave up everything and went to the forest. There he exhibited his great affection for Mother Sita. And then comes the Maya Mrigam. Maya Mrigam in Ramlila is that illusory deer, the golden deer. And Sita Devi says, oh, it'll be so nice to have him in our hermitage. Kindly get him. So Lord Ram chased after Maya Mrigam, or the illusory deer, that had been created by the trick of Ravana. That this golden deer was especially desired by Sita Devi is indicated by the word Daitaya Ipsitam. So she is dear to Ram and she wanted it. So therefore, this verse describes Lord Ram's Leela. According to Jiva Goswami, this verse describes the incarnation of Lord Krishna. So Surepsita Rajya Lakshmim, Sura Ipsita, what demigods may covet, desire, or have some kind of desire for, is the Mathura Sampatti, or the opulence of Mathura. Mathura was a very opulent place at that time. Mathura is described in Vedic literature as a reservoir of all opulence. But Krishna, although taking birth in the opulent city of Mathura, transferred himself to the forest village of Vrindavan. So in this verse, in this case, Arya Vachasa, Vachasa is somebody saying something. And Arya is a respectable person, guru, authority figure. So here Arya Vachasa indicates the order of Lord Krishna's parents, Vasudev and Devaki, that you kindly leave our jail, Mathura, and go to Vrindavan. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, both Vasudev and Devaki express their fear at the threat of Kamsa. So does Arya Vachasa indicate that with great love they requested Krishna to kindly make some arrangement to avoid Kamsa. And Krishna, to obey their order, transferred himself to the village of Vrindavan, Yadagad Aranyam. So from Mathura, which is an opulent place, he went to an Aranya, forest. Then what's a Maya Mrigam in Krishna Leela? The words Maya Mrigam indicate the special exalted relationship between Radharani and Krishna. Maya also indicates the internal potency of Krishna, Yoga Maya. The original form of Krishna's internal potency is Srimati Radharani. Due to the inconceivable love of Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna becomes easily controlled by her. So Mrigam, or animal, in this case indicates Krida Mrigam, as a toy animal. Just as a beautiful young girl may play with so many dolls or stuffed animals, similarly Lord Krishna becomes just like a doll in the hands of the most beautiful young girl, Srimati Radharani. Actually, Jiva Goswami described that Radharani performed so many types of worship in order to bind Krishna more and more in her love. So due to Radharani's aradhana, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. He runs here and there, anvadhavat, but he cannot leave Vrindavan. So anvadhavat indicates Krishna's boyish activities. He's running throughout the transcendental land of Vrindavan, tightly under the control of the love of Srimati Radharani. And the third, which is Vishwanathachakti Pada's explanation, is Tyaktva sudustyaja surepsita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his household life had a very beautiful wife. She was the expansion of Srimati Lakshmi Devi herself. His first wife disappeared and then he took Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi and he left her. He took sannyas. So, this is Vishwanath Chatripa's description. Maya Mrigam in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Maya means one so-called wife, children, bank account, which keep one firmly bound up in the material bodily concept of life. The word Mrigam indicates Mrigyati or to search out. So Maya Mrigam indicates the conditioned living entity who is always searching here and there for the latest up to the minute sense gratification in the material bodily concept of society, friendship and love. So Maya Mrigam in Ram Leela is that deer, Maya Mrigam in Krishna Leela is Krishna himself. But in Gaur Leela, Maya Mrigam is the Jiva who is searching for Maya Sukh here and there. Anvadhavad indicates that Mahaprabhu was always visible going here and there, searching after the fallen conditioned souls. Mahaprabhu would sometimes embrace the conditioned souls on the pretext of religious friendship or ecstasy. But actually the Lord was touching the bodies of conditioned souls to pull them out of the ocean of material existence and hurl them into the ocean of ecstatic love of Godhead. Thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the most merciful and munificent incarnation of the Lord, whose mercy surpassed the bounds of mundane discrimination in the matter of caste, color and creed. And at the end, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada write that, thus Ram, Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together, this verse is the Shadbhuj form of the Lord. So, in this divine form, the Lord has six arms, one carrying a bow and arrow of Lord Ram, two carrying the flute of Krishna, and one with the danda and kamandalu, the sannyas rod and the begging pot of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Specifically, now we move into another core area, one small area, not a core area, but one small area of this verse, and that is Anvadhavat. It's a very illogical thing to understand that Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, he is running after conditioned souls. Why? Because he wants to save them. And what are they doing? They are avoiding being saved by him. That is the extent of their Maya. And therefore he says, sometimes he would forcibly embrace someone. Sometimes he would just show up. One of Mahaprabhu's weapons is his beauty. So in that sense, the preachers of Mahaprabhu, they also follow this understanding that it's not like we sit there in one place and we wait for conditioned souls to show up and say that, please deliver us and give me knowledge or save me from Maya. In order to save you from Maya, you should know you are in Maya. What if you just don't know that you are in Maya? I was hearing it's a recorded narration of the Jagai Madhai Leela by a very senior disciple of Prabhupada. Many of you must have heard his recordings, Amala Bhakta Prabhu. He has read the Gita verses, Bhagavatam, so many things he has done. He's almost 80 years old now. One particular thing struck me that the day Mahaprabhu told Nityananda and Haridas Thakur that, like he says, Shuno Shuno Nityananda Shuno Haridas, please listen. This is what I would like you to do. Go to every door, go to every person and tell him or her to accept Krishna as the Lord of your heart. When we say Lord of the heart, that means practically Lord of your existence, because heart is where your existence is. And they say, what are we supposed to tell after that? Nothing. Just tell people that you have to accept Krishna, that's all. And he chose Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas. Haridas Thakur was an old man at that time. And they would go. Now, just try to understand, this is 16th century Bengal. And no factories, no mobile phones, no electricity. Sure enough, there is Mughal rule. And Sanatan Dharma is not exactly encouraged everywhere. But people live simple agrarian lives. And especially Navadvip at that time was very prosperous. Some parts of India were very prosperous. There were the famous Chakravartis, Bhattacharyas, Mishras. They were all Upadhyayas, Bandopadhyay, Chattopadhyay. But then the British made them Chatterjees and Banerjees. So they changed that. Anyway, so any beggar coming in front of your door and says, they would identify by the words they speak. In Maharashtra, we had sadhus who would say, Jai Jai Raghuveer Samarth. So householders would know that, oh yeah, we have to give them something. In Vrindavan, you have people who do Madhukari, Radhe Radhe. And they know somebody has come. If nobody comes up for some time, say, Radhe! Yes, yes, coming, coming. So, but what you say has to be only Radhe Radhe, that's all. So Haridas Thakur and Nityanand Prabhu would go and they would say Hare Krishna. And somebody would come and they would say, yes, beggars in Bengal, most common commodity is rice. So take a palm full of rice and either they would spread their cloth or accept in their palms. And here these two would be showing the difference. They said, no, don't give us rice. We don't want your rice. So what do you want? Chant Hare Krishna. Chant this Mahamantra. Accept Krishna as the Lord of your life. Serve Him. Serve His lotus feet as the final destination of human life. And it is narrated that one of three things would happen. Somebody would say, oh, really? Just to accept Krishna as the goal of life, as we are His eternal servant and chant His name. All that's all is needed for this in this age? He said, yes, this age is very bad. Of course, bad from their point of view. And they would say, all right, I know Hare Krishna, you also must have this experience. You tell somebody that, what do? We go to the Radha Gopina temple and we chant Hare Krishna. They say, yes, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, we know. Many people know it. Some insist on chanting Hare Ram first or whatever. We don't need to go into those details. Second reaction would be, somebody would say, amazing. I never thought this could be available so purely, so simply, that you just move your lips. I had this question in my mind. Later this 11th canto purport kind of clarified it. How can nistar means your deliverance from this world of Maya, how can that be possible just by chanting? Now even we sometimes say, Prabhu, chanting is so difficult. At least I have complained to myself so many times. And especially now we read so many books on chanting. You may say, chanting is the simplest. Why you need thick, fat, 500 pages book just to tell you how to chant? Well, this age is like that. You need people to teach you how to breathe.
to how to walk, how to jog, how to eat properly, how not to kill yourself by your eating habits. So what's the harm if somebody teaches you how to just say words properly? Then comes the doubt that people in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, they had much more access, much more time, much more inclination, much more capacity to understand Vedic literature. They must have read everything. And none of them chanted, none of them took the process. So in the 11th Canto purports, it is clearly said there that, like, imagine Satya Yuga. We can only imagine that 100,000 years of lifespan. 100,000 years. And no disease. Pure air, pure water. Like, Bombay would seem like a Hawaiian paradise. Simple islands, emerald water, shining beaches, soft sand. And whoever lives, does some agrarian thing, people are happy. But still, this is the material world. And by even that kind of lifestyle, even if you read the Vedic literature, that time also people have the same surprise element. How can you be delivered just by moving your lips? No. Getting out of Maya is a much difficult process. So let us do meditation, it's much easier. Only 60,000-70,000 years, that's all. you just don't have to eat. And in those days, if you don't eat, doesn't mean you die. There are plenty of techniques you may learn how to live. Like some of the laggards, some of the rejects of those age, if that person is born in today's times, and doesn't eat for some months or a few years, he's as a worldwide celebrity. Prabhupada once taught this in a lecture, that they in a coal mine they were digging, 100, 200 meters deep, 300 meters deep, half a kilometer deep, 500 meters. And they found a frog. And after some time, he was alive, he was just hibernating. So Prabhupada says, this siddhi of staying in samadhi is available to frogs. What makes a Baba or a Guru great just because he doesn't breathe or he has... Like in Kumbh Mela, not this one, but previous Kumbh Mela, I saw that people are watching something, like there's a mound kind of thing, sand, and only two hands are sticking out like this. Everything is under the sand. So this is that technique where you suspend your bodily breath. So although everything is conducive, you don't have this simple faith that I don't think just chanting will help. Maybe we should do other things also. Maybe other things are better. So this is what keeps Satyuga people in their meditation, Treta in their sacrifices, or Satya in their sacrifice, Treta in their meditation, and Dwapar in their temple, elaborate worship. And in Kali, you don't have any of these three facilities. So, therefore, this Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. It's not like these processes are bad. But if you do that, you will waste your time. You will be frustrated. So therefore, with this compassion, Mahaprabhu is sending out his preachers. So this was the second reaction. First was, all right, I'll take the holy name. Second was, with tears in their eyes, somebody would accept the holy name and say, oh, so nice. And the third one was, the majority of those responses were like this, that, Acha, just chant Hare Krishna. Do you know who I am? I have studied all Vedic literature.
my name is whatever, something, something, Nath, Chattopadhyay or whatever, and I am a Mishra, I am Trivedi, I am Chaturvedi, I am... Is there just Vedi? I don't know. There's Dvivedi, Trivedi and Chaturvedis are there. So I have scanned everything. And I know that these names are there, so many ashtakams and so many prayers are there. But where does it say that this name is the only way? And why do you have to chant loudly? Mantras are meant to be kept private. Oh, now I understand why you have come. You are thieves. You have just come inside the courtyard so you can see from which part of this building you can enter into at night. And somebody say, get out of here. And who has sent you? What is your right? What is your authority? Where is your authorization? Where is your ID in today's language? Has the world changed? No. So the same thing happens today when you tell somebody that just chant Hare Krishna. Actually, it sort of reassured me that, you know, don't worry, things have not gone that bad. So this is how Haridas Thakur and Nityan Prabhu would preach. And then they come to the understanding that, we won't go into the whole Jagai Madai Leela, but they come to understand that there are two sort of Jamindar kind of people who were having land, property, born in a Brahmana family, very rich, and utterly demoniac. They can't stand anybody. They used to pitch tents, Jagai and Madai, in various parts, wherever they would like. And if they don't like somebody, beat somebody up, burn somebody's house, take a woman, carry her away, violate her chastity. At that time, Nityan Prabhu hits upon this idea. He says, hey, what if he preached to them? And Haridas Thakur is saying, but what's the sense in that? You know, these people are so angry and they're always drunk. The only time they would not fight was when they would be punch drunk, that they had no sense of fighting. Otherwise, they would simply catch somebody and beat them up. And what if they don't have anybody to beat them up? They would beat each other. Not because they disliked, but they had to do something. So that is how when Nityan Prabhu approaches Jagai, Madai, they start following them and they run away. And another thing Mahaprabhu instituted was, this preaching would start at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock, up to midday. And then they had to give a report, what happened. So they would actually go and say, we visited this particular quarter, and so many people were saying, yes, they would chant. Some were not very happy. They actually abused us. They called us all kinds of ill names. And Mahaprabhu said, yes. That's what people will do. Because that's what Maya is. Maya will never try to just release them like that just because they want to. So from that point of view, how do we know that somebody is having intelligence? In Kali Yuga, there is only one indicator. If he accepts the simple process of chanting the Lord's name, he is intelligent. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Mahaprabhu has prayed Nam Namakari Bahuda. Sometimes, at least one or two times I've heard Prabhupada speaking before different kinds of people. If you feel that Hare Krishna mantra is my mantra or my way of approaching the Lord, you bring me your mantra. Whichever addresses the Lord, it has to be bona fide, that's all. It has to be a name of God, that's all. So Mahaprabhu preached, chant Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada went 2, 3, 10 steps further. By whatever means, just connect to the Lord. Whatever way you glorify Him, whatever way you approach Him. So when Jagai and Madai were pursuing Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas and they were running away, the simple-hearted people were feeling very sad. That look at them, these rascals, why are they harassing them? But the majority were saying, they deserve it. Who has told them to preach like this? I'm just while I was reading that, I was thinking, one of our devotees was saying that at a particular marathon stall, book distribution stall, a man came and said, shame on you people. He said, what happened? You brought the Bhagavad Gita on the streets? So he said, what do you mean? He said, this is such an exalted scripture, and you are shouting here, discount, discount, discount. I mean, some of our brahmacharis and many others also had, in those days, they would hear how others peddle their ware, how sell their stock. So brahmacharis are like enthusiastic. In fact, one fellow at the others, he asked me that, how much do you get? I said, nothing, we are members of a monastic order. This is our guru's order, therefore we are doing it. He said, you people are great. From morning till night you are shouting. He had to pay people in order to shout because they were selling those perfumes and whatever. So what is this discount, discount, discount? Why should you belittle this scripture? So I think it was our Sachisut Prabhu while he was in the ashram here. So he said, do you have a Gita at home? He said, no. Do you read it? No. So you don't have a Gita at home. You don't even know the import of it. You don't read it regularly. And you're angry just because we are selling it here. So he explained, this is compassion. Prabhupada wrote his purports out of only one overpowering emotion, that is compassion. It's an emergency situation now. We can't wait till people come to the temple on their own. Like the example is given, if you are sick, you go to the pharmacy and say, get me that, because I know what's happening to me. If you're more sick, you tell somebody that, you know, just get something or call the doctor, see what I can do. But when you are knocked out, the doctor comes to you. Is it not? He doesn't even ask you as to what has happened. If he asks the relatives, he say, "Achhe khase the." He was quite well. We don't know what happened. Like a stroke patient, cardiac arrest patient. You ask him, so what exactly was the time when you had this? What had you taken before? Any problem at night? He can't say anything. If the doctor starts talking to that, people will start accusing the doctor of having no sense. You do something. So that is Kali Yuga, where you don't ask the patient, you know, what kind of maya you are in, what kind of problem you are in, what kind of problems do you have in life. Everybody has their problems, maybe unique. That's how this world is made. All of us feel, my problems are unique. If you were in my case, you would not have survived even. No, it's not like that. Everybody is. Maya doesn't spare anyone. She's an equal opportunity employer. As they say. Why should she? She has a job. So when Jagai Madai would be pursuing and people would be harassing them or calling them ill names. In fact, Mahaprabhu supported Nityanand Prabhu's version that, yes, we should do something. And he said, how about saving Jagai Madai themselves? And almost everybody there was thinking, my God. Ardas Thakur would discuss with him that, why are you such a madman type person? Why can't you think logically? So he said, wait a minute, Haridas, please try to understand. Can any sane person give this order? That go and save everybody? Go and save someone like Jagai and Madai? So what can we do? Our master, our lord, he is drunk, he is intoxicated in love of Godhead. So as his servants, we have to do the same. And he says, therefore, mark my words, Haridas, very soon, these two gundas, they will be dancing in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. It is also described, once Radhanath Maharaj described in his Chaitanya Leela, that Nityananda Prabhu actually was arguing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that if you feel angry at them, you have to be angry at everybody in Kali Yuga. Everybody is practically the same. Someone doing it, somebody contemplating it, somebody about to do it. In the sense, he is prone to that. Like somebody is already sick, the fever is seen. Somebody is complaining of a little bit feverish, and somebody is going to get the fever tomorrow. There is no fourth stage here. It's only Maya just goes on increasing after that. So therefore, Anvadhavat. Here the Lord Himself tries to... Mrigam basically means like a hunted animal. Like this Sanskrit word, Mrigaya. Heard of it? Mrigaya means one who goes for hunting, shikar. So the Lord hunts you down in this age. Pretty scary thing, like why would somebody hunt people down? Not for getting something from them, but giving them. As I said, I'm going to pursue this Maya Mrigam Anvadhavat. We also see in the life of Mahaprabhu how he sort of strategized, he sort of made a plan of catching the right people with the right plan, with the right steps. Case in point is Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is the pandit, the most intelligent person, advisor to the king. And Mithila, currently in Nepal, and they say part of Bihar also, but mainly in Nepal. Now it's a small city type, but the whole Mithila state was again the seat of learning. And what was taught there? Nyay, that means logic. But Mithila began with Navya Nyay, a new kind of logic. Now, you and me are so gross that we can't even find any sense gratification in Nyaya. If you are told that, you know, read this book, who has the time and the inclination and the capacity nowadays to read all these books? But that time people were feeling, scholars were respected. There was money into it, fame, prestige, everything. So Mithila would guard Navya Nyaya books. You can come, you can hear, but you cannot copy. If somebody wanted a book, he had to hire people that would copy page by page. It's not an easy task at all. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had gone there, heard all these verses, thousands and thousands of verses, memorized them, and coming back to Navadvip started teaching the same Nyaya. Now imagine, this is like some closely guarded secret, some formula, and somebody comes and just by testing it, he understands what's it and makes it somewhere, the company is doomed. So it was like patented thing. He sort of hacked in today's terminology that knowledge. And because he started teaching, he became famous. And then he accepted the service with the king. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas. The Aryavachasa, there is an Aryavachasa here, with Ram, Aryavachasa was his own father. Krishna Leela, Aryavachasa was his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. There was an Aryavachasa in Gaur Leela. There was one Brahmin who was so desperate to understand what goes on in Srivast Thakur's courtyard at night.
You hear sounds, you know, tamak, tam, tamak, tam, so many mridang sound, kartal sound, and sweet singing. But he asked Srivas, can I come? I said, no. So he was so desperate that one day he saw Mahaprabhu, at the time, I mean, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, I curse you. You will never get any material happiness. In a sense, you won't be having a happy married life or whatever. And as soon as he said it, he said, hey, wait a minute, what happened to me? I saw you, but I never planned to say like this. And Mahaprabhu was there saying, thank you very much. I was just trying to understand how am I going to take my next step unless there is a trigger. So this Brahmana actually was feeling, it was like saying, you made me do it. I never had this desire. But Mahaprabhu was very glad. So the Aryavachasa is that particular Brahmana who cursed him. So after taking sannyas, he moves to Puri. And before coming to Puri, he already made his plans. So there is a mild altercation, some kind of a disagreement between Lord Chaitanya and his followers. So finally at the outskirts of Puri, Nityananda Prabhu breaks his rod, his sannyas danda, into three pieces and throws them in the river. And Mahaprabhu, after gaining consciousness or awareness, he said, what happened to my danda? So he said, you broke it. He says, me? I broke it? He says, yeah, you were dancing, you jumped higher, jumped still higher, and you fell on that and the danda broke, so I just threw it away. He knew this is not actually what has happened. So he told his followers, you go first or I go first and you follow, but we'll not go together. So they didn't dare argue with him. So they all said, you go first. So he went. He went as he came from the Danda, that river is now called Danda Bhanga Nadi, the river where the rod was broken. And there is a nice bridge. It has 18 nalas, 18 streams coming from it. So it's called Athara Nala. From there, at least in those times, today also, you can see the Sudarshan Chakra of Jagannath Puri temple. Seeing that, Mahaprabhu fainted. Then he started crawling. Oh, I'm going to see Krishna. He came running. Zoom! He went past the Simadwar, he went inside, and as soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, he just fainted there. Almost lifeless, like a corpse. Now, Jagannath Pandas and the gate security guards, they were knowing that all kinds of weirdos come here. People do all kinds of things, they all do all kinds of dramas or whatever. One actually came with a stick, trying to beat him and just kick him out. Somehow, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya happened to be there in the vicinity. And he saw Mahaprabhu's body described as prakanda sharir, almost 7 feet in length. And extremely handsome, of course. Extreme and handsome are really two inadequate words. Here is the reservoir of all beauty. Even as a sannyasi, he is beautiful. Like normally, you know, what's the beauty for a brahmacharya or sannyasi? But you know, right? There are still some aspects where, you know, whether the tilak is just right or whether the all these three things are matching with your beadbag, whatever. I mean, you get the point. There are still some aspects where beauty can be considered. Outsiders may see the whole thing and just like, yuck, what kind of dress is that? What kind of hairstyle is that? But there is Like we may see somebody who is touted as the most beautiful person and we say, where is the beauty here? But still it goes on. This is not the case here. As the supremely renounced, Krishna has all opulences and one of them is renunciation. But when he shows renunciation, doesn't mean his opulence of beauty is subdued. He is Shadaishwarya Purna. So looking at this sannyasi, this Bairagi, this Babaji who has come, Saurabh Bhattacharya immediately, his first reaction is, wait. As soon as a Raj Pandit has said something, the security guards, they understand that, well, he's not some beggar or somebody like that. He sees the body is actually, the chest is flat. And actually people are feeling that maybe he has left his body, he's dead. Somehow he takes a small cotton swab and just places it near his nostrils. The fine movement of the cotton fiber gives him the reassurance that, well, he has not left his body. That means he's having sattvic vikar. He was knowledgeable, he was knowing that this is a very high state of meditation. So Saurabh Bhattacharya says, you just take him to my house. And people come, they carry him. After some time come the followers of Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda Prabhu, Gopinath, many others. And they come to understand that some strange incident took place in the temple. Somebody came and he fainted. So they say, now we know. Our Prabhu is here somewhere. And he's being taken to the house of Saurabh Bhattacharya. So they go there. There they find that big elaborate arrangement is placed nicely on a soft, you know, bedding, and there are people awaiting what to do. So they approach Saurabh Bhattacharya and say that, we know him. He's our Prabhu. We are his followers. We are his students. So there's a discussion then, why? What happened? Why is he sick? Does he have epilepsy or whatever he has? They said, don't worry. They start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And they make such an ecstatic kirtan that everybody else is like, I mean, see, the first instance when somebody hears kirtan is, oh, I know kirtan is good, but then anytime, anywhere, and you Hare Krishnas, you don't need any excuse. Anytime you just chant Hare Krishna. So that's a fact. Mahaprabhu's order, kirtaniya sada. That means the time we don't do kirtan is when actually we should be thinking, why I'm not doing it? And of course, Prabhupada said, preach, talk about Krishna, discuss Krishna, Krishna conscious movements, expansion, all of these he called Krishna Katha. Prabhupada spread a very wide dragnet. So don't worry if you're not just singing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And slowly Mahaprabhu opened his eyes. Now for everybody and sundry, it was like somebody would utter the words, what happened to me, you know, where am I, what am I supposed to do? But this is the Supreme Lord. He is never bereft of his knowledge potency. She never leaves him. But he is running after this big catch, Saurabh Bhattacharya himself. So if he tells him that I'll start teaching you about Krishna tomorrow, it won't work. So after prasad, there is some discussion between Saurabh Bhattacharya and Gopinath, and a typical, you know, Krishna is God. How do you know? I know, Prabhupada says that. Who told Prabhupada? No, he's God. Gita says that. And a typical person said, I don't accept your Gita, I don't accept your this, I don't accept your that. It's going on for the last 500 years. And especially if you're armed with the Bhakti Shastri, you really want to show somebody that I'll prove it to you. Just yesterday, I don't know what I was doing, some kind of a research on, not exactly research, just some studies to understand some patterns. Yes, one man, a religious man obviously, he was telling that people always want evidence. People always want proof. Can you prove it to me that this is this? He said, he writes in that small blog, corporates have evidence that what they are producing is polluting the environment. Doctors have evidence that smoking kills, alcohol kills. Now, some may have evidence that mobile phones may not be good for us. That's the gray area, but all these others have, there is evidence. Governments have evidence that some of their policies are not working. But are people changing their life? No. You may say, yeah, we know, but what to do? So similarly, don't think that if you just place evidence before somebody that this is God, this is the evidence that God has to have this kind of qualification, now believe him. They won't. At least Kali Yugi Jivas won't. That's a fact. They need to be given what Mahaprabhu has told. Straight, full-on treatment of Krishna consciousness. Like the full blast of the Maha Mantra or a full plate of prasad. That's it. It's a fact. Radhanath Maharaj, in his college pitching days, there was a man who had his own religion, and he would bring his thick, fat religious book, so big in size, very obvious. But he would like the discussions which would take place, and especially he would like the samosas and the pineapple chutney. So, after weeks, they found out that he still would not agree. Of course, he would never chant, he would never give up his own religion, what he said. But his religious book became smaller and smaller in size. Until one day somebody discovered that his hands are free. So he said, what happened? He said, well, I was told that you people are dangerous cult and basically you are dangerous people and we should be wary of you. So in order, and you are the devil. Satan speaks through you. So therefore, I need my protection. So this was my kavach, this big book which I had. But you are not bringing anything today. No, 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 I have my pocket version today. So he still was latching on to that. Mahaprabhu had this Raj Pandit to preach to. You can't just give him a leaflet or a pamphlet or something like that. Just, please come. I'm giving class today. Please come. He won't. So, after Prasad, no, first of all, it's Gopinath and Sarvambhattacharya have their debates. Actually, if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada supports Sarvambhattacharya's views. Why? Just like there are people who won't accept God, even if, as they say, God sits on their face, they won't. There are people who would accept anybody as God at the drop of a hat. So, these two extremes. Either believe everybody or then don't believe anybody. Maybe it seems you just like a pendulum. You go from one end to another. Those who are so-called learned in scientific circles, they don't believe in anybody. And then the others are willing to fall for anybody. So Sarvambhattacharya says, this Mahaprabhu of yours is Krishna himself. Do you have Praman? Do you have Shastric Praman? Do you have other Pramans? What does he do? How is he functioning as? What is his role as God? And Gopinath sort of answers them. Similarly, in the sixth canto, when Vishnudutas are asked by the Yamadutas, how do you claim Ajamil as dharmic? We know he's a sinner. We don't have enough disk space to keep his sins into account. And you are saying that he's a dharmic person? So he said, yes, and we have a Praman. So So show us your Pramad. And Prabhupada writes there, the Krishna consciousness movement is producing so much literature so that this is not just for distributing, by the way. It is meant for you to understand why we need to chant Hare Krishna. In one sense, if you say, I am simple, I am basically a simple person, my mind is very simple. So you should just chant Hare Krishna, chant, dance in Kirtan. If you are tired, take prasad, and that's it. This is the sum and substance of the entire philosophy. Really, nothing more than this. But if you ask us, wait a minute, why Hare Krishna? Why not some, you name it, you know what I mean. Just go outside. Why dance only in Kirtan? Why not somewhere else? So Prabhupada said, if you are a little bit complicated with why chant only Krishna's name, or why only dance this way, why only dance in front of the deities, then all these books are meant to convince you. 80 of them. Take fat books, 400 pages each, Prabhupada used to say. Although some are more. 80 books just to convince you. If you don't have these problems, then chant, dance and take prasad. That's all. So Mahaprabhu now is sitting in front of Saurabh Bhattacharya, and just as a, he's very attractive, that's a fact, and Saurabh Bhattacharya asks him, when did you take sannyas? So he relates to him. Do you know Vedanta Sutra? He says, no. Have you been taught properly by your guru? He said, no. So he said then, I wish you best of luck. You are taking a very good step. But Krishna Chaitanya, who's your guru? Sannyas guru. So he says, Kesha Bharti from the ashram, Kantak Nagar. And Saurabh Bhattacharya understands, oh, Kesha Bharti, okay. That means not a very high grade of sannyas. Like if you tell somebody, who are you? I'm engineer. From? You may say, I won't take any names, otherwise. One day it happened that I took the name of some town and someone happened to be from that town. So, some lesser degree college or whatever, you know, some Baba Sahib Institute of Technology, there are so many of them in Maharashtra, you know, Dada Sahib, Baba Sahib and all that. So choose anyone, but it's something like that. So you don't need really get that kind of a credibility as far as your engineering goes. And same was the case with sannyas. So you took from Kesha Bharti, Bharti type. Bharti is a sannyas surname, like Puri, Giri, Aranya, Sagar. These are all the names taken by various orders of Shankaracharya's math. If your name ends with Puri, you follow a certain, read these scriptures, that's your main scripture, you follow this particular line. If you say Aranya, or if you say Sagar Maharaj, Aranya Maharaj, Puri Maharaj, they all have their significance. But Bharti is not in them. It's not the creme de la creme, not the upper elite of sannyas. He said, fine, I can do that. You know how somebody says to you, you have some problem, your grades are not that good, but I'll do something. So actually, Mahaprabhu is at the receiving end of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's mercy. He said, yes, please do something. I will start a discussion on Vedanta Sutra. Would you like to listen? He said, whatever you wish. So we'll begin tomorrow. And then the next day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya starts everything what he wanted to know. He had this feeling that this young man is intelligent, he's bright. He just took a brash step of taking sannyas so early. Otherwise, you know, if it would have been a bit mature, it would have been easy for me to tell, for him to understand. Anyway, I'll be my best teacher. I'll be the best teacher. So he started speaking. Dawn till dusk, morning till evening. 1, 2, 3, 4, a week passes by. And Saurabh Bhattacharya has sort of downloaded everything. Whatever he has given. And there is no response from Krishna Chaitanya. He's like, he's sometimes pondering. He says, okay, wait a minute. We are not finished the whole thing yet. We have finished a considerable amount of knowledge which I want to give you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, is it so difficult? Tell me, my dear boy, what is the thing that you don't understand? Now, after seeing his beauty and having this kind of compassion and living like behaving like a fatherly figure, Mahaprabhu has captured his mindset completely. Now, for the first time, he's opening his mouth. And he says, the way you explain the sutras, sutra is like a formula, that I should say is very easy for me to understand. He says, good. I thought, you know, if you have problems with the basics, you know, then you have to again go much beyond that. So what is the thing which you don't understand? He said, the explanations which you give, they somehow seem to cover the original meaning of what Vyasadeva has written, in as much as Vyasadeva's sutras are like the dazzling effulgence of the noonday sun, and your explanations are like a deep, dense, dark cloud. Oh, this was too much. Savarna Bhattacharya thought that, you know, I thought this fellow was innocent. He seemed to be like a innocent young person in need of knowledge. With my knowledge, with my connection, I could have helped him. He has the audacity to insult me. Now see, he used this one, like this move he made after such proper planning. So he said, tell me, what is the problem with the explanation? So Mahaprabhu said, if you permit me, can I give an explanation? I'm not learned like you. I'll just know the basic Sanskrit and I'll try to speak. So he said, yes. Now he started speaking. He went on and on and on and on and on till practically he wiped out whatever Sarva Bhattacharya had in his mind. That's what he did. And then he said, I think it's late now. It's late for me also. Don't worry, Bhajbihari Prabhu, I'll finish. So, it's late now. We will meet tomorrow. Tomorrow? Who's waiting till tomorrow? Sarvam Bhattacharya could not sleep a wink. He was just tossing in bed. He said, all that I cherished, all that I heard, this person demolished that in just one session. It can't be like that. Frankly speaking, you and me are spared from what Sarvam Bhattacharya had to undergo because we don't have the intelligence. We don't worry. We will never have this pain that I can't understand Vedanta Sutra. In fact, you know, sometimes the college bishop, they say, some boys say, don't tell me otherwise I'll get convinced. Have you seen that sometimes? Don't talk to me about this, I'll get convinced, you know. So this is the age we have in. So Sarvam Bhattacharya's problem will never be our problem because we don't have that much grey matter even. But he relented because it was done with such grace, because it was done with such finesse, and most importantly, compassion. He didn't immediately start a website next day that, you know, Bhattacharya finished. Or he didn't shoot email, he didn't update his Facebook profile that this is what happened at 11:53 p.m. today. This is what happened. No. He kept it discreet. The next day he went, Mahaprabhu usually would go for his bath Then he would go for darshan, he would get Jagannath Mahaprasad, and he saw Saurabh Bhattacharya still reeling from that shock. And he said, everything is zero now. I can't trust anything what I had cherished in my heart, all these meanings and all these explanations. And but he says, from one point of view, what you're saying is correct. The Vedanta Sutra does have a very simple explanation. Check it out now. You may not understand Sanskrit, but if you just know beginner Sanskrit, 15 days of spending time with a book, and Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhava Mad Bhakta Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. What does Bhava to become? Mad Bhakta, my devotee. Where is the complication in this? And Prabhupada, in one lecture, he's like roaring. He says, 200 years, people have copied Gita, some have actually studied Gita, they have written their commentaries. There are Swamis from India who have come to the West with the Bhagavad Gita, and not a single devotee of Krishna. What does this book talk about? It talks about devotion to Krishna. Madhyaji, worship me. What's going on here? It's worshipping Krishna. So where is the complication? Satatam kirtayanto mam. Always chant my glories in kirtan, or always spread my glories, or always discuss my glories. Is that complicated? But we have a great politician scholar from India, one time vice president, and in his purports he writes, when Krishna says, become my devotee and surrender unto me, it is not to Krishna, the person, but to the unborn Brahman which is speaking through Krishna. Now this is a good idea, and this is a grand explanation. It is not simply bogus, it stinks. It has the smell of enmity, envy. That's what it is. You may say, why envy? Some Indians may say, we don't envy Krishna. Let him be happy here, there, wherever he is, we are happy here. People in the West may say, we are never envious of Krishna. We hardly know who he is. How can you show envy to somebody whom you have not even seen in your life? So Prabhupada clarifies. You like wealth? Oh yes. You like beauty? Oh yes. You like fame? You like knowledge, strength, everything. That means you are envious of Krishna. Because these are originally Krishna's potencies. This is Krishna's property. If you start building a house on a railway station, and you say, I respect Indian railways, I really like them. You say, well, you may say that, but you are claiming their land as your property. He said, no, 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 but you may write a whole big banner, I love Indian railways. No. Envy is shown when you respect somebody's ownership. So we say, but how do I know that the money in my pocket belongs to Krishna? It doesn't say there that Krishna doesn't say it. Krishna doesn't write in the Himalayas, this is my property, or it doesn't write in the sky, this is my property, and trespassers will be prosecuted. It doesn't write that. That's why we need to read the scriptures which say that this belongs to Krishna. So this envy, this is what Saurabh Bhattacharya was having this realization, that why all these years this escaped me? Because Mayavad, the vad or the discussion or the point of view that the living entity can be as good as God, if not today, tomorrow. So either you glorify yourself to a tremendous extent, or you deride God to a tremendous extent. You take yourself from here and put yourself there, or you put God who is here and put him there. Either I am equal to him or he is equal to me. That's all. No third opinion. So therefore Mahaprabhu says, you are equal to him in quality. But you are different than him completely in quantity. Gunatmak, you are the same. But Pariman, size, quantity, you are different. So Sarvam Bhattacharya, he welcomes Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu gives him prasad and he immediately takes it. He said, Acharya, what has happened? Sandhya Vandanam, you have to take your bath and you haven't even done your morning pujas and everything. He remembered something from the Shastra. He says, Prapti Matrena Bhuktavyam. The moment you see Krishna Prasad, take it. So he came to know that by this particular gesture, doesn't mean we should do that all the time. But this is Sarvam Bhattacharya, who was so much careful about these petty rules and regulations that now he has decided to, what is the gloss or the focus is on? He is respecting Krishna in the form of prasad. Not that he decided to skip his bath that day. He took. I know for sure he must not have skipped it. But such a person giving up this kind of fondly held things. In fact, Sarvam Bhattacharya later became so much of a foreigner. He is an eternal associate, that's Leela. But he didn't even like something from the Bhagavatam which says Mukti Pade. He says, don't talk to me about Mukti. The word Mukti reminds me of my past. So he said, let us make it Bhakti Pade. And Mahaprabhu said, I appreciate the fact that you don't like Mukti, but please try to understand, Mukti is not an abused word also. Mukti is not a bad word. Devotees are also after Mukti. But their Mukti is Muktir Hitva Anyatha Rupam. Everything else which I thought I am, I want to give it up. Muktir Hitva, giving up Anyatha, all other Rupams. What are the other Rupams? I am male, I am female, I am Indian, I am this, I am that. All this which my body, my subtle body and gross body makes me think I am, Muktir Hitva Anyatha Rupam Swarupena Vyavasthitihi. It's not like I don't want any standing position. I want some position. And that is servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So this Swarupena is something which we want to know. So from that point of view, what Mahaprabhu has given is, it's not like because it is Kali Yuga stuff, it is third class, it is not the real stuff. I struggle with these things sometimes. That because I am fallen, therefore my lecture, my spiritual teachings are also, you know, they suit me, you know. Like this is for my sake, this is Kali Yuga knowledge. No. Mahaprabhu has done something completely illogical. Anarpita charim chirat. What was never given before, he's now giving to people who have no qualification. And what is the reason? Just apar karunaya. He just has that overwhelming compassion. So, I will end with a small example given by, I heard this in a class given by Giriraj Maharaj. It sort of sums up the whole thing. He gave the example of a charitable person. A person normally would, seeing a beggar asking for something, would never let him go without giving him anything. Whatever he might have, 5 rupees, 10 rupees, whatever. So a normal charitable person, people go to him, all those who go to him, they get something. Nobody goes empty-handed. So he said that the normal avatars, they are like that. They show their chivalry, fighting spirit, like Narasimha Dev, Varaha Dev, Lord Kapila gives knowledge. They do their specific thing. There is some maryada. They have their limit. Like Lord Ram, he told the Pakka Tapasvis from Dandakaranya forest, that right now we don't have any scope for Madhurya Ras later. And they accepted. This charitable person has sort of one habit. He's an alcoholic. So if he is really, really, really taken alcohol and now he has no idea what he's doing, at that time if somebody asks him, can you help me? He might just go in his home, inside, and bring out the whole treasury and say, take it. Sometimes the beggars might say, hey, don't show it. People will kill me if I have this. Or they will kill you. Nobody brings your family jewels outside. However compassion and pity you may have, you might give 10 rupees, 100 rupees at the max. But you don't bring out your entire treasury. But he's doing it. That means he's really intoxicated today. He doesn't know what he's doing. So Krishna and his avatars, normally they are like this charitable person. They give, looking at you, they size you up. In the Gita, Krishna makes so many conditions. First, surrender. Shut up and surrender first. Then I will give you protection. So that's like a deal. You have to do so many things. Tesham twantagatam papam. Finish off your bad reactions. Finish off your pap first. But Mahaprabhu is the same person. Now he is so drunk. He doesn't know what he is doing. He has gone inside. He has taken the whole treasury box. He's kept on the street and opened it and telling people, take it. So he says, so Giriraj Maharaj added, Sumedasa. Those who are intelligent, they'll just go and ask something and take it. Because now what they will be getting is not just 10 rupees, 20 rupees. Now they'll get a diamond necklace or gold chain or whatever. And then he added, until he gets sober, he will behave like this. The moment he starts sobering up, he will understand and tell his people, hey, take this box away. Who brought it out? So Radha's prem, Radha's love is something which nobody gives. Krishna also doesn't give. He gives you freedom from sin. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshai. I'll give you freedom from sin. But Rupa Goswami prays to Mahaprabhu, Krishna prem pradayate. You're not giving just introduction to Krishna. You're not just giving him some knowledge that Hare Krishna means this mantra. You are immediately giving me the process by which Krishna starts loving you. Knowing somebody is the first stage of knowledge, but that person loving you, that's like heavy stuff. So he says, intelligent people of this age, they will accept this easy process. The process is easy, the application sometimes becomes difficult. Bhakti yoga is not difficult to understand. To understand is very easy. Stay in the association of devotees and chant Hare Krishna. Application depends upon our egos. Other processes, the application is too difficult. To understand itself is difficult. What is because of living with those people? So therefore, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. In one lecture, Prabhupada gives the... I liked it so much. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the devotional form of Krishna. You want to see Krishna behave like a devotee? Here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like sometimes you may say, how God is always like the main boss. He orders. There is a verse which says, Je jaiche nachai se taiche kare nritya. So Krishna is the one who says, dance, stop, bring me this, bring me that. And if you ponder, how does he behave when he becomes a devotee? Does he ever become a devotee of somebody? Yes, he does. But he becomes a devotee of his own form of Radha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is how two things. How Krishna becomes a devotee and how he behaves. And what kind of devotion Radha has for him can be understood in the male body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no room for sahajiya stuff here. There is no room for males to dress up like girls to get that bhav. No. All of the gopis and manjaris and sakis in Krishna Leela, to suit Lord Chaitanya's mood, they take male bodies. Who is Rupa Goswami? Is Rupa Manjari. Who is Sanatan Goswami? Manjari. Jiva Goswami? Manjari. They are all girls. Hardly 11 and a half, 12 years old. But in a spiritual body. But in this particular Leela, they want to keep it pure, safe, protected. So male or female, the body is actually doesn't matter. What matters is that we understand that when Krishna becomes a devotee, he takes the bhav, and that's why he has his golden form. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.